Thank you very much, Jerry, and thank you again to Autism Speaks for such tremendous support of this meeting. It's also my great honor to introduce to you Dr. Alan Packer. Dr. Packer is a PhD-trained cell biologist and developmental geneticist who completed his graduate studies at Cornell University Graduate School of Medical Sciences in New York City, and subsequently his postdoctoral fellowship training at Columbia University. In 2000, Dr. Packer joined the editorial staff of Nature Genetics, the leading journal in the field of genetics in the world, where he served as acting editor from 2002 to 2003. In 2009, Dr. Packer moved to the Simons Foundation, where he served as the associate director of research. We'd like to welcome Dr. Packer to the stage and again thank the Simons Foundation for their tremendous support of the meeting and support of research in autism.
So I'd just like to start by thanking Steve and all of the meeting co-chairs and organizers for giving me a few minutes this morning to tell you about the programs that SAFARI supports in the service of autism research. So SAFARI, or the Simons Foundation Autism Research Initiative, is just one component of a larger organization, the Simons Foundation, which supports research across all of the life sciences outside of autism and has a major commitment also to research in mathematics and the physical sciences and also in computer science. So if you'd like to learn more about the overall organization, the Simons Foundation, I'd encourage you to visit the simonsfoundation.org website. So although SAFARI is just one component of the Simons Foundation, it does represent a substantial commitment to autism research. In the past year, SAFARI has funded about $56 million worth of autism research in all areas of the field. So I think any discussion of SAFARI properly starts with the website, which was relaunched last fall and shown here. I really would encourage anybody who's interested in learning more about SAFARI's efforts to visit safari.org. It's under the leadership of Apoorva Mandavilli, and there you can find information about our grantees, the projects that they're working on, information about the staff members, information about key resources that SAFARI is supporting for the field, such as SAFARI Gene and SAFARI Base, which I'll come to in a few minutes. But I think the heart of it really is the news section of the website. These are news pieces that are written by two excellent in-house staff writers, Emily Singer and Jessica Wright, supported by a really great group of freelance writers. And we have new content that goes up on the website typically once a day. There are 7 or 8 new pieces per week. These can be long news stories about the latest research, shorter stories, blog posts. They also solicit pieces written by opinion leaders in the field, which I think are particularly thoughtful and deserve your attention. They also have a newsletter alert that you can sign up for to get a newsletter once a week emailed to you indicating the latest stories that have gone up on the website. Personally, I find it's really an indispensable resource to keep up with this avalanche of information that we're faced with in such a large and growing research effort in autism. So I would encourage you to go to the website frequently. So at the heart of our efforts are our grant-making programs, which at any one time we're supporting in the range of about 100 principal investigators. We have an annual request for applications where you can apply either for a full research award or for a smaller pilot award. We also have a relatively new program called the Explorer Awards, which is you can apply at any time. There's no application deadline. It's a one-time, one-year, $60,000 award to support critical experiments to open up new areas of research. And we would encourage you to look at the current grantees under the Explorer Awards to see if your idea might fit into that category. So the areas that we support are listed here. These are not all of the areas, but the major ones: gene discovery, molecular mechanisms, cognitive and behavioral neuroscience, and experimental therapeutics and biomarkers. So our SAFARI director, Jerry Fischbach, often says that underlying all of our grant-making efforts is the idea is not just to give people funds to do their work, but to really try to create a community of scholars. These are people who will be collaborative, who will share data. We have workshops where we invite investigators to participate. our annual meeting. We have geneticists and cognitive neuroscientists and cellular neurobiologists in the same room, are listening to each other, talking to each other, maybe not with complete comprehension all the time, but I think it's important to have all of these people together if we're to make progress in this sort of wide-ranging field. So Jerry mentioned that Autism Speaks has a sort of bottom-up and top-down approach, and we have a somewhat similar approach. We have certain things that are driven by the foundation, certain key flagship projects that I'll touch upon. In turn, the Simons Simplex Collection, the Simons Variation and Individuals Project, or the Simons VIP, Safari Gene, and a relatively new effort to promote the distribution and characterization of key mouse models. So I'll discuss each of these in turn. So a number of years ago, it was found by Jonathan Sebat and Michael Wigler that de novo genetic variants might have a particularly strong role in autism susceptibility. So under the leadership of the principal investigator, Kathy Lord, we established the Simons Simplex Collection, which was an effort to recruit simplex families where there is one affected child on the autism spectrum and at least one unaffected sibling, and both biological parents being unaffected. The idea is that this study design would enrich for de novo variants, which could then be identified through global genetic approaches. And this collection is now complete. There are more than 2,700 families in the SSC. And Kathy Lord, in collaboration with a large number of dedicated scientists and physicians across North America, carried out rigorous, consistent phenotypic characterization of these families, looking for patterns of comorbidities, looking for a particular genotype and phenotype correlations. All of the samples have been genotyped, and they will all undergo exome sequencing, which is still in progress. The idea, as I mentioned, is to try to identify rare but large effect, highly penetrant genetic risk factors of all kinds. So all of the biospecimens that have been obtained through the SSC are available by application through Safari Base, which can be found on our website. And of course, the hope is that this collection will prompt longitudinal studies and really we're looking for applications in that area at all times. So we're particularly excited about the emerging genetic results from the SSC. This is just the title and references for five fairly recent papers from the labs of Michael Wigler, Evan Eichler, and Matthew State, who led a fairly large consortium to look at the genetics of the SSC samples. These five papers are really the first fruit of this project, identifying de novo copy number variants and single nucleotide variants that are going to turn out, we think, to be high confidence genetic risk factors for autism. And we're hopeful that as the exome sequencing is completed over the next year or so, that a few dozen of these high confidence risk factors will be identified, really putting the genetics of autism on a firm footing, perhaps for the first time. So we urge you to look at these studies and to anticipate new ones that will come out over the next year or so. So I mentioned longitudinal studies. We have about 1,300 of the SSC families now who are part of the SSC at Ian, the Simons Simplex community at Ian, where they can learn about the results that have emerged from the SSC research, and also where they can be recontacted for future studies. So I mentioned the second flagship project, which is the Simons VIP. So the SSC is sort of trying to establish the genetic landscape of autism spectrum disorders. The Simons VIP is complementary in that we're focusing on individuals who have a particular highly penetrant genetic risk factor, in this case either the 16p11.2 deletion or duplication. And the idea is to try to study them intensively at the phenotypic level using neuroimaging and psychological profiling to see if there's a distinctive signature or pattern that is found in individuals who have this risk factor. So just one sentence from the paper that describes this: it's unknown now whether brain structure or neurophysiological responses and associated clinical phenotypes will differ meaningfully between genetic etiologies. And we're hopeful that this project that studies one particular genetic variant will give us some answers to this very important question. And once again, all of the biospecimens obtained through this collection are available through application on Safari Base. So this was a web-based recruitment through this site called Simons VIP Connect, where individuals and families who are interested in participating can get more information and can consent to be contacted about participating in the study. So I'd like to take a few minutes to focus on one resource that I've been particularly involved in called Safari Gene. This has been developed in collaboration with Sharmila Basu and her excellent team at a company called MindSpec based in Virginia. The idea is to try to digest and catalog all of the massive amounts of information on the genetics of autism that's scattered throughout the literature. So it's first and foremost a list of genes that have been implicated, but it goes much beyond that. It identifies all of the copy number variants, multigenic copy number variants that have been reported in autism. It identifies the key animal models, focusing mostly on mouse models of autism, and abstracts the relevant phenotypic information about those models and displays it in an easy-to-read format. We have information on protein-protein interactions for autism gene products, and also a new effort to try to really assess the strength of the evidence for various genetic risk factors, because so much of it is uncertain given how rare a lot of these variants are. So just as an example, this is for the gene Nurexin-1, where you can go to the site, get some basic information about the gene, get the references that have been reported in the literature, look up the sequence variants that have been reported in autism, individuals with autism. Then we have assembled a team of six autism geneticists who have helped us to assess the strength of the evidence for this gene and all of the 200 or so genes in the site. So for example, for Nurexin-1, this team has assessed that this is a strong candidate in so-called category 2, and they provide a narrative explaining why that they think the evidence is quite strong for Nurexin-1 being an autism risk gene. So we're shortly going to announce an effort to involve the wider community in this so-called community-wide annotation to get not just this group of six geneticists, but a much larger group of people who will download the data sets and who will offer their own opinions as to the strength of the evidence for each gene. And we're hoping we'll get some clarity as to the field of autism genetics, given that there have been so many reports of genetic risk factors, and yet very few of them, we feel, are really on a firm footing. So we hope this will advance, and we invite everybody's participation. Of course, the ultimate goal is not just to identify these risk factors, but to test their biological functions in animal models. And toward that end, we've established a core repository at the Jackson Labs. These key mouse models will be placed there, and we're hoping we'll enable the distribution of these models to labs around the world, avoiding a lot of the time, effort, and money that goes into trying to get mice from one lab to another. We've begun this effort with the 16P11.2 deletion mouse that was developed by Aaliyah Mills at Cold Spring Harbor, but there will be several others to follow, and we encourage you to look at this as it evolves. And finally, obviously a lot of the mouse phenotyping is also a bit uncertain, given that the tests can be done in different ways in different laboratories, and sometimes particularly behavioral phenotyping is not reproducible. So our goal here is to identify high-priority models, to have them run through standardized high-throughput testing platforms, and then have all the data completely and publicly released to provide a firm footing for what we know about these key mouse models of autism. And again, we'd encourage you to check back with our website as we make announcements on the mice and the particular tests that we'll be using to characterize these mice. So finally, I'll just emphasize again, please visit the website to learn more about our programs. We have a booth just outside the Grand Ballroom to learn more, get more information about any of our programs. There are some posters that will be citing SSC and VIP data. And I'd also highlight the talks by Ellen Hansen and Bernie Devlin, who will be discussing VIP and SSC phenotypic and genetic data, respectively. So thanks very much for your attention, and I wish you all a productive meeting.